a lot of times people look at branding and it covers so much today in 2020. It could be the look and aesthetic of a brand, the voice of a brand. I think the bridge between social and branding is content marketing. And a lot of people don't really know what kind of the extent of content marketing, but it's all of these different experiences that we're creating today. It's you building this podcast, and you're creating content with the intent of introducing people to your brand. So in 2020, it's almost like the Wild Wild West. I mean, it's all about really storytelling in a way that's different, that captures attention, that really, but still has a lot of the tactics of true marketing. You know, you're hitting on pain points, you're, you know, really incorporating market feedback and leading with education. So a lot of the same tactics you would use 20 years ago still apply. It's just, you always say this, the message is in the medium. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I see, I listen to you, Eric.
Welcome to the Rockstars Rocking Podcast, powered by Voluntary Disruption, a show dedicated to people who are crushing their business and life goals. These are bite-sized conversations with leading rock stars in their respective industry who are pumped to share their story to help drive you to the next level. So, are you ready to rock? Speaking of rock stars, here's your host, Eric Silverman.
Hey, rock stars, welcome back to another episode of Rockstars Rockin'. That's hashtag Rockstars Rockin'. If you're not already following it, please do so. Today's guest is a good friend of mine. I'm so super pumped to have on the show. Her name, she doesn't really need an introduction, but I'll do it anyway because you're probably listening on a podcast wherever you consume podcasts. Her name, the incredible, the most amazing person I know, at least for today, right, is Megan Chiarello. Welcome, Megan.
Hi, Eric. Thank you for that introduction. I am fired up. I've been waiting for this podcast.
Oh, man, I completely agree. And boy, am I fired up. For those of you that don't know Megan, and I got to tell you, there's probably very few people, at least in our world, in our industry, by trade, who don't know you. But if you're not sure, you don't know Megan, you need to go connect and follow with Megan Chiarello immediately. I'm not even going to try to spell her last name, but it is in the show notes, I promise you. Megan, if you're not already aware, she is the executive. She is an executive marketing consultant, entrepreneur of her own business for hire. And she's also the vice president of Next Gen Benefits, a division of Bottom Line Solutions. Megan, I want to talk about, I'm just jumping right in, so you can't stop me. Megan, I just want to, get into your consulting stuff. I want to talk about how you're helping benefit advisors and solution providers and insurance people in this industry up their game, man, because I got to tell you, the marketing and the branding and the social media exposure that I and you, so I guess we see in this industry, man, the words that I could say right now, but I want to keep this G-rated, let's just say they're not up to snuff, right? Talk about what you do for clients that hire you on demand. Is that even a way to put it, on demand? Is it per case? Like, talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, of course. Well, I think to answer your first question, what I do as a quote unquote executive marketing consultant is really to help brands in my industry, brands and independent benefit agencies, create a big look and feel and big company image and be able to do it for their scale and for where they are in their business. The biggest challenge I see is that they don't have a strategic marketing leader helping drive all of the pieces that come together to create that polished brand and to have that social presence and all those assets. And I use that word asset, and most of these business owners are like, we don't even know where to begin. So that's really what it is. It's like this turnkey, on-demand, executive to help come and run the marketing strategy. A lot of times these business owners will have an idea of what they want, and then they start piecing together different contractors, and it never comes to fruition. It's not cohesive. It's not consistent. There's no voice. So instead of hiring a copywriter, hiring a technician to build the automation, a graphic designer, I kind of come in at a high level to talk about the strategy, the positioning, what different messaging and campaigns we need to do, and then make it happen.
So to me, what you just described, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because there's probably some differences, and I don't even know if what I'm going to describe is true or even if it exists, but it sounds like you're a fractional CMO, a fractional chief marketing officer for hire on a case-by-case, on-demand basis, whereby if I'm a vendor, or I like the term solution provider in the employee benefits insurance space, or if I'm a benefits agency owner, per se, I could hire you because I don't have the budget to hire an actual full-time CMO on staff and all that comes with it. So is that anywhere close to accurate?
It is. Yeah, you really nailed it. And I discovered this void because I was a marketing director for a technology company, and we worked exclusively with brokers and insurance companies, being in the ben admin space. And when we were trying to empower brokers to market the technology, because we were broker centric and we worked directly with the broker channel, they didn't know how to do it. So I would have to like create campaigns for them and host webinars and create content. And it was just so eye-opening to the fact that they're also excited about marketing. They know they need to do it, but they don't have the internal tools and the internal structure. So yes, it's really giving them somebody with corporate marketing experience, with experience running a team and bringing all the different pieces together, that's always the missing link. So I solve that missing link when it comes to actually executing on a marketing vision.
So you have clients all over the country. And by the way, guys, this is her side hustle. This is not her day job, but most of you already know her day job. So no offense, I didn't want to spend a lot of time talking about that. We have limited time today. I wanted to talk about your side hustle. You know, Gary Vee always talks about having a good solid side hustle. My side hustle is podcasting at the moment, really. And it's not even for money. It's just for what I use it for is brand exposure and continuously getting my name out there and providing me personally, selfishly content that I believe truly will be of value to others. So, you know, with your side hustle, and that's not an offensive term, I know you don't take offense to it. Talk about where that began and where that started. And really, I'd say go back even further to middle high school, when you were a little girl, you know, where did the dream about marketing and branding and all this stuff come out? Again, prior to social media being a word.
Yeah, I appreciate even like talking about this because I think it helps people identify where their passions are and even pivoting your career. I always love to write, and I joke I'm a corporate storyteller. And in marketing, sometimes you have to be a little more quippy and you can't do this whole like beautiful narrative. But yeah, I love to write, and I was really great in sales because I really loved how people really their buying behavior, like what really got people going and what makes, you know, how can you influence somebody? So, but in high school, you know, yearbook and the school newspaper, I did all that. I was that girl. But then in college, I kind of switched routes. I thought I was going to be an attorney.
Really?
Yes.
This
yeah.
Where I thought I knew you. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I thought that was know
that. Look at that. Yeah. Uncovering, that's breaking news. I didn't know that.
Well, I thought, and honestly, when I got to school, I thought I was just going to be another girl who wanted to
like a little Elle Woods.
Yeah, that would have been the dream, right? I thought I didn't want to be another girl doing PR or communications. Like, I mean, I could have seen myself going to New York and doing that. But when I switched over to political science, what I fell in love with was campaign management. And that's marketing. You know, the the voting behavior of constituents and of demographics and a population. I worked on a few campaigns. I worked on Rick Scott's campaign. I worked on a small campaign for state Senate in Georgia. So, you know, in hindsight, that's marketing. That's what I do today. And that's what I really love. I've come up with like ads and messaging and events to drive people for the candidate to shine and get to know her voters. So that's really kind of how I got into it. Falling into benefits was a complete miss, you know, totally didn't see it coming like you and everybody else that gets into our industry. That's
typically how the insurance sales side is. I didn't know it was that way for you as well.
Yeah, I started working for a conference that ran, you know, an event for the insurance space. So I got a front row seat to all the different players, the professionals, you know, the different solution experts, how they all work together. And it was such a great experience. I marketed the event. I sold sponsorships, created experiences. And that's kind of really how I got today to digital marketing and event marketing, is how you engage people in a non-salesy way in content creation and events, thought leadership. I learned so much in a very short period of time. And then I transitioned in the benefits state space to technology, to benefits administration. And that's where I really polished my kind of corporate marketing expertise, is building a brand and campaign management and alignment with sales and marketing. I mean, that's a piece that is so underrated for our industry, and I'm sure so much other spaces and businesses. In those years, I really refined my craft from a marketing leadership perspective. And the company I was with was actually part of an acquisition. So I had a seat at the table to really see how companies are acquired, what kind of data they need. And it was a really magical experience.
So let's talk about the sales and marketing side for a second, because I think you hit on something really, really, really good that I learned early on. You know, my experience, nothing like yours per se. You know, I went to college, I studied marketing, business administration, a minor in PR. I grew up dreaming of being the guy that would create the next campaign and slogan for, like, as an example, Nike, just do it. Like, I wanted to create that image, if you will, verbal image. And that didn't happen. I fell into an internship, started in the insurance world, the rest is history, and I love it. But the funny thing is, now that I've been completely independent, more so than ever, I've never had an employer, I've never had a job, but I was a carrier rep. As you know, I'm a recovering carrier rep. Yep. So when I left the carrier world completely, I was able to soar my marketing wild oats, right? And that's where you and I have always hit it off. But what I always believed, and I still to this day, is that you have a head of sales who is all about driving revenue. And you have a head of marketing who's more of a creative, who's supposed to enhance and help drive revenue, but they don't always sync and they don't always work together in a nice way. Talk about why and how that's a problem, and how can we fix that problem?
Yes, I love it. And that is the disconnect. And there's always this like push and pull between sales and marketing. It's like, well, marketing's not doing enough, you know, to drive leads, and we need the good leads.
Blame game.
We need the good leads.
Yeah.
And then marketing is over there like, we're doing everything we can. We're giving you the leads. You're not following up. So it totally is a practice to bring the two together. And it definitely takes some finessing. It takes being in the room with the sales and marketing leader and really getting the feedback that's out in the market. So being in constant communication with the sales team, the sales director. What are prospects saying? Why are they not buying? How long is that sales cycle? And then marketing can go and create campaigns based on that feedback and segmentation based on where they are in the sales cycle. So you have different messaging for somebody that has had a demo or is further along in the sales process versus somebody who's not nurtured or is just, you know, really taking baby steps in engaging the brand. So that is so critical. And it's definitely, everyone says it's an art and a science. But I'm definitely, as much as I am a creative, I'm very much a metrics driven marketing leader too. And anybody who's listening, a lot of people think marketing is kind of like the fluff and it's not of substance. And really good marketing can help shorten the sales cycle and drive pipeline.
Absolutely. As I would say, 100 emoji right there. 100%, man.
Fire sign.
Exactly. Fire. Look, you know, you hit the nail right on the head. And when it comes to marketing, I wanted to dive into, you know, marketing, particularly in the year 2020, right? And even further, 21, 22, it's going to continue. It's not getting easier. You know, marketing is a component of, or is made up of branding, in my opinion, is right there at the top. And social media has to play a pivotal role. Can you kind of speak about that, those two things, maybe either together or separately?
Yeah, I think a lot of times people look at branding and it covers so much today in 2020. It could be the look and aesthetic of a brand, the voice of a brand. I think the bridge between social and branding is content marketing. And a lot of people don't really know what kind of the extent of content marketing, but it's all of these different experiences that we're creating today. It's you building this podcast, and you're creating content with the intent of introducing people to your brand. So in 2020, it's almost like the Wild Wild West. I mean, it's all about really storytelling in a way that's different, that captures attention, but still has a lot of the tactics of true marketing. You know, you're hitting on pain points, you're, you know, really incorporating market feedback and leading with education. So a lot of the same tactics you would use 20 years ago still apply. It's just, you always say this, the message is in the medium. You know, I mean, I see, I listen to you, Eric. but yeah, it's all about really crafting content to fit what matches the brand or to help support the brand. And for social media, it's creating content that reinforces the brand and that engages your target audience.
Yeah, it amazes me how many people, this is not just insurance or employee benefits, how many companies will do a rebrand every so many years, like it's a magic pill, like it's a silver bullet. Like, how many times have you seen a company who says, well, we did a rebrand last year and we didn't really get anything out of that? And it's almost as if somebody told them that by putting a really slick looking logo or changing your color scheme or palette or updating your website, like that's going to be a magic silver bullet that drives leads. And gosh, that couldn't be so further from the truth if they tried. And I know you agree with that. Let me ask you this. When it comes to really just putting yourself out there, what do you feel about the whole companies showing vulnerability as a part of their authenticity and being genuine? And I also wanted to ask you a question about cause marketing. You know, the Bombas of the world, who every time you buy a pair of Bombas, they donate socks, and every time you buy a pair of Tom's shoes, they donate shoes. Like, how could that play a role in a benefits advisor or a solution provider type world? I know that's two questions.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people today, consumers are savvier. There's more purchase, there's more opportunity, there's more ways to absorb information clearly. So that does play in to buying behavior, and people wanna feel connected to brands that stand for something outside of their product or something that's complementary. So from the B2B world, if we have, you know, a lot of B2B businesses and players listening, it's being able to create that same vulnerability, authenticity, and attachment to stand for something that a consumer-driven brand would do. So I think it's necessary, but I think if it's forced or if it's not, it doesn't make sense with your brand, it can cause a lot of confusion in the market. It could look disingenuous. So I think it has to be really thoughtful and intentional. But I think B2B brands are really embracing that a little bit more. To your second point about, you know, throwing on a new slick logo and spending thousands of dollars and man hours recreating a website, that is very old school marketing. I mean, I know I've worked for CMOs. I actually had one CMO that just came in, and that was their suggestion. We need to redo the website. No, the website's been done. We can enhance it. We can add more calls to action, but that's not, a lot of them think that that's the way to come in and make change. And it's very old school. I think our industry, they don't invest in updating until it's too late though. So it's definitely, you've got to be on the pulse of it. You have to constantly enhance your website, but to just do a rebrand because you don't know what else to do, I think that's when companies and marketers really fall short.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I completely agree. Do you believe in the following statement or some form of the following statement? More quantity over quality with respect of the content pushed out? Meaning, do you think that in our industry, and this goes for all industries, people kind of overthink themselves out of putting out too much content, what they define as too much content?
Oh yeah, this is the $1 million question. I mean, you talk to so many different experts. I mean, even me as somebody who's been doing this for a pretty long time, I mean, I still play with the science and the balance of it. I think ultimately, and I'm sure a lot of people you spoke to would agree with this, if it's of value and it's relevant and it means something, put out as much content as you want, stay in front. If it's platitudes, if there's no call to action, if nobody gets something out of it, then it's white noise. So I think I'll give you a great example. I was working with a brand recently, and their prior social media was really just pushing out insurance-related content on like Vision Awareness Month.
And boring.
Exactly. But they did it every day. And it went to another link. It didn't even go back to their site. And it was a very uncomfortable conversation when I asked how their social was, and they're like, oh, it's great. And the minute that we sat down and created a digital event experience where they were promoting something that people got to opt in and raise their hand and actually be a part of, I mean, their numbers, I think their site visits went up 323%. Like, no joke. I mean, it was like night and day.
That's awesome.
Because the only thing that they were promoting were these like semi-relevant articles published by somebody else. And maybe they were giving their own two cents on what they thought it mattered, but it had nothing to do with the brand. And it didn't have a unique voice either. They didn't stand for anything. So That's a perfect example of the quantity over quality debate.
I get people in and outside of our industry all the time that ask me why I do the everyday national day, 365 days a year, there's something going on, right? And it's my brand. I don't make money on it specifically, but you know, it's fun, it's lively, it's genuine, it's authentic, it's become who I am, and I enjoy it. And I actually, people then question that. And I've had coaches who I pay to question and challenge me on that. Is it a waste of time? And they say, what value does that bring? And the value that I believe it brings is for brand awareness is one, it's constant content consistently 365 days a year for myself personally. But here's the real deal. The value is the joy that people get when they hear about a national day that they had no idea existed. And they literally truly go home that night and bring home a pizza because they say, hey, it was National Cheese Pizza Day. I thought everybody liked pizza. Hey, it's National Cupcake Day. Hey, it's National Banana Ice Cream Day. Stupid stuff. They're not always related to food. And I truly 100% promise you, I get messages on social media where people will either comment or DM me and say, I had no idea that was a thing, and I brought home pizza for my kids and they loved it. Thank you. Like, that's the value that it brings. And in my industry, if somebody's sending that to me, no, you know, and they can hear me say this, it's okay. That's a potential lead for me in the future where I can follow up and create a genuine relationship. And over a long period of time, a lot of times they'll ask me a question like, hey, what do you really do for a living? So I think you would agree that marketing has to be more long-term than short-term, more often than not. Would that be a fair thing to say?
Agreed. Yes, absolutely. And I want to point out what you do that makes it relevant and engaging. So even though you're sharing this national day and it's consistent. So
I don't create them. I go to a website and find them.
Yes, but you always find a way to relate it back to a story or something else. Like you don't just push it out there and say, hey, it's blueberry cobbler day, see you later. You give a story or you give an antidote or you talk about someone else's experience. So it's always fresh. And I think you do that really well, but that's what makes it uniquely yours and valuable to your brand versus if somebody else was doing it and just pushing it out, it wouldn't have the same impact.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, but I just thought it was a relevant thing to talk about because I do get that question. How does that help you grow and sell insurance? Well, I'll tell you how, but it's a long-term, big picture strategy, which I believe marketing a lot of times falls short on. I get campaigns, a quick campaign for a few months. That's fine. That makes sense. But you're always doing those campaigns, if you would agree, for the long term. You might do a quick campaign now, but it's for the greater good of the mission and the brand of what your the people that hire you are trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the whole concept of like Throwback Thursday. Like, you know, it's that, yeah, it's, I mean, people want to come back for something. They want familiar, you know, something familiar. So I think there's a lot of psyche behind that. And I mean, ultimately, everything is for the long game. Even when you do those short campaigns, unless it's like, you know, a quick hit, you're looking just to promote one live cast or one event that has no long-term, you know, nurture cycle. But yeah, no, I mean, I think there are people, Eric, honestly, that could have done what you did and not succeed because they didn't make it their own and they didn't personalize it like you have. But yeah, I mean, you definitely found a way to create that following like a Throwback Thursday or Testimonial Tuesday. You made it uniquely yours.
Well, I appreciate that. Listen, Megan, we're going to have to wrap up. I could go on for hours with you, and I know you can because we've done that before, just chit-chatting about marketing and social and branding and life. But for those folks that want to reach you, how do they reach you?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say, hit me up on LinkedIn. Slide into my DM.
Professionally and politely, people.
Yes. Yeah. You know, we can exchange info from there. But I want you to go to my LinkedIn. I want you to see who I am, my posts. Get to know me there. I'm definitely, I'm myself on LinkedIn wholeheartedly. I talk a lot about what's going on, what I like, what I don't like. So let's start there and we'll strike up a friendship.
Absolutely. Well, I love it. Well, listen, for everybody behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, on behalf of the Rockstars Rockin' Podcast with a hashtag in front, I'm Eric Silverman. That's Megan Chiarello. And this has been another incredible rock star episode, and I'm so excited for everybody who just listened. Hopefully you can take the value you just learned and put it to good use immediately, and don't forget to hit up Megan professionally and politely on LinkedIn as the best way to communicate and contact Megan. And if you're not already subscribed, please subscribe anywhere you are consuming this podcast. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe. Smash that little bell to get notified every time. And if you haven't already done so, please do me a favor and leave a total badass rock star review. 5 stars would totally rock. So that's all we have for today. As I always say, don't just have a great day. You gotta make it
a great day.
A great day.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Rockstars Rocking Podcast. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you consume podcasts. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a review. 5 stars would totally rock. Until next time, Rockstars, keep rocking.